Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Brush Hero. Oh, man, this is a must for your garage. The ultimate detailing tool. Completely water-powered. It's such a cool piece. Just hooks up to your garden hose, and the hydropower spins it. The water rotates the brush. It rinses as it scrubs. You won't believe the power and torque this thing generates from the water pressure alone. Interchangeable brush heads. They have a soft one. They have a tough one. They have a slick tapered one for specialty rims, plus soaps, sprays, and all sorts of accessories. So if you really are an enthusiast and you want to get in and you want good tools in your hand, Brush Hero. Great for motorcycles, bikes, tools, you name it. It's great for cleaning. 15% off for our listeners at brushhero.com/pages/Adam. Use the promo code Adam at checkout. Save the 15% and check this device out online. I think you'll be impressed. Brush Hero.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Amy Miller. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, his hologram will be performing at Coachella this weekend. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. I'm in to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Sex mad gorilla man. Oh, boy. That's a nice lead into one of the things I want to talk about today. Amy Miller's a stand-up comedian, and she's going to be opening for me at Cobb's nice. This week. She's also the world's biggest Dolly Parton fan.
Second biggest.
So we got a lot of that to get into. This half of the show brought to you by brushhero.com/pages/Adam and Castrol Edge Titanium Strong for maximum engine performance. Couple things. First off, some clarity on the missing earplugs. I had the foam earplugs.
All weekend.
Yeah, I had a, I had the earplugs. I had my foam earplugs. They're orange foam earplugs. I sent in a little Lucite kind of ashtray looking thing on my nightstand along with some change and whatever else I pull out of my pockets. There are probably six or seven loose. Came home Wednesday night after the maids made their appearance, and they're all gone. And I thought the maids threw them out. Well, I thought the maids moved them, thought they filled them out, threw them out. There was always the fill theory. Maybe Phil got to them, but it's weird. They just sit there every night, and I don't know why Phil would get to them tonight.
That's small potatoes for Phil.
Literally.
Yeah. Crumbs.
And
new potatoes.
It's true, because the next day he'd torn apart Sonny's Nerf football in the early morning hours.
Of course. Why wouldn't he?
So Peter over the house found the earplugs in Phil's poop.
No.
So Phil did eat it.
He passed them.
And let me just say
that
this.
Is low man on the totem pole work.
Yeah. Now I told him, you make sure those things are clean before they end up next to my nightstand again.
Not since age 14 have I had poop shoved in my ears. I'm not falling for that again.
Yeah, 17, but all right. Who's counting? The point is this. I will put this out there to everyone who is fair to middling at their job, which is when you are
window of negligence,
sporadically incompetent.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
There is always a reason to blame you. Mm-hmm. You are essentially. So what I'm saying is my maids do kooky things.
Yeah. So on brand for
the unpredictable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it, when it is about brand, it is a weird thing. I mean, again, when I come into my shop, as I did a few months ago on a Saturday, and I got Rob, who's very sporadic, but lives in like Redondo Beach and is there all weekend, like on his boat, and Sean, who's always in and out of the shop on weekends working on his own projects, but is not erratic. And I come in on Saturday and I see the compressor is on. Mm-hmm. I go, Jesus, Sean, you left with it. No one's there. He's gone. He left the compressor on because Rob doesn't come here on weekends and Sean does. And this is a Saturday, but this goes against what Rob's behavior or Sean's behavior. It's right in Rob's wheelhouse. later on, when I'm admonishing Sean for leaving the thing on, Rob chimes in and says, oh, I came in Saturday morning to put air in my tires, and then I left. And I thought, okay,
right.
It's perfect. All's right. But so here's what I'm saying. When you are sporadically incompetent, then we have no choice but to blame you, even for stuff you didn't do, because they are. And it just so happens that my dog decided to eat my earplugs the day the maid showed up. But I'm going to blame the maids and not the dog, because the earplugs were in there every other day before the maid showed up. And now this. And you may say it's not right, but it's sort of like this. If you are going to choose the life of a drifter, where you just go, hey, I'm a drifter, blows into town. And then we find a teenage girl's corpse in the woods, and we can't find who did it. Guess who's going to come to you?
Person of interest.
And it's like, I don't know, maybe you're a kindly drifter who just gets a little work on mending fences and is buy some beer money.
But we're playing the drifter percentages.
This is what happens when you become a drifter. This is what happens when you're sort of incompetent at your job sporadically. Right. We don't know. We assume it's you. I mean, you think about all those people who do all those things that are kind of erratic, and you think, and then you think of the other people who don't do that, and you would never graft it.
They wouldn't come
to
up.
Them.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So,
apology not accepted.
Apology to the maids, because Phil ate my earplugs. Also, I had a weird thought when I was just walking through the kitchen this morning, and I have no idea, but this Dan Hill song popped up, and then I thought about Isaac Hayes, and then I thought about, this is a song that Isaac Hayes would never sing, and then I thought, I'd like to do a segment called Songs Isaac Hayes Would Never Sing. Now, let's do the Isaac Hayes. Let's give people a taste. He'll be missed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only we will.
Yeah, you will.
Love Unlimited Orchestra, Isaac Hayes. But let's do a little Isaac Hayes. Oh, and God, he did some acting too, right? I mean, he was in like Escape from New York and Escape.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I think,
famously, South Park.
Yeah, his
whole
like
generation
chef.
Would know him for South Park.
Right, but he did some on camera stuff. Wow. I think he was in Escape from New York, but I'm trying to think.
Oh. It's a long lead up to this one.
Like
fresh
breeze.
Put you in the mood.
Now, will he actually be serenading us or just sexy talking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what's the name of this one, Brian?
That Loving Feeling.
Well, you can fast forward to when he starts his vocals, because I know some of these things would go on for a while.
I can't stop my hands from touching you.
Me too. Hashtag.
What if that holds up in court?
I'm powerless. Saxophone really drives it home.
Oh, yeah. That just meant sex time, and every 80s movies ever saw that sax kicks in.
There's supposed to be lyrics here, but I'm just too busy having sex.
Surrounding me. It seems that I can almost touch your soul.
He's going soul. That deep. Or, did he say cervix? Or soul?
Soul, soulvix.
I heard soulvix.
Surrounding inside me. Hold me, baby, hold me, don't let me go.
Isaac.
All right, so you get that. He's a sweet, lovemaking man.
He's a sultry man.
And then, was Isaac Hayes, Max Zapata, was he in Escape from New York? Or if not, what was he in? He did some film roles. You can probably...
Was he in... Not the Warriors. That would have been too small.
Oh, he may have been in the Warriors.
He was in one of those, in New York, but like escaping movies.
He was the Duke of New York.
Oh, he was the Duke of New York. So what in the Warriors?
No, Escape from New York.
From New York. Yeah. All right. That took a little while. All right. So he did some acting. He had a good look. So I thought I would play a song that he would never, and I would encourage you guys to tweet me, we'll do this periodically, a song that Isaac Hayes would never sing. And I came up with this one by Dan Hill.
It's a little too tender for Isaac.
In a different way.
Also, when he talks about his feelings.
If I love you. And I choke on my reply.
What?
I'd rather hurt you honestly.
He's outraged.
Than mislead you with a lie.
No.
And who am I to judge you?
No.
And what you say or do? I'm only just beginning to see the real you.
Sometimes.
And sometimes when.
Sometimes, come on.
The honesty is too much. And I have to close my eyes and hide.
Such a ballless song.
I want to hold you till I die.
No.
Till we both break down and cry.
No.
I want to hold you till the fear in me subsides.
Isaac's not thrilled.
All right, this, you get the picture. Yeah. I don't think Isaac would be down with crying and holding her until the fear in me subsides.
He doesn't show that side of his personality.
I'm not even sure that he's familiar with the word subside. Probably thinks that's a position, right?
It's like a, get on your subside, lady.
Yeah, that goes in the category of like air supply all out of love.
Yeah.
That one's particularly egregious because he's talking about breaking down and crying and stuff, and he'd rather be honest with her and everything else and mislead her with the
love. Times I like to break you and hold you endlessly.
Oh, no, wait. Times like break you and bring you to your knees. Bring you to your knees at times
time like to break down
and hold you. Oh, yeah. Got to get to that part. Isaac would never be, he would never sign off on that kind of like.
But through the insecurity,
it's insecurity.
Some tenderness survives.
What?
I'm just another writer.
No.
Still trapped within my truth.
No.
A hesitant prize fighter. Still trapped within my youth. Sometimes when we touch. And I have to close my eyes and hide.
Yeah.
I want to hold you till I die.
No.
Till we both break down and cry.
No.
I want to hold you till the fear in me subsides.
Here's the bridge.
That's good.
At times I'd like to break you and drive you to your knees.
What?
At times I'd like to break through and hold you endlessly.
Yeah.
Just gotta give him that one.
Sometimes I understand you, and I know how hard you try.
All right. So you guys can tweet me your next offering. I don't know if you're going to do better than this, but you can try.
I mean, Isaac will help.
He will help. All right. Let's see. Andy's in Atlanta. He's coming out on Saturday. Wants to pull the balls out of the hopper. Andy?
Hey there. How are y'all?
Yeah, man. You're coming out from Atlanta?
Well, he said y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have anything else to do Saturday, so I booked a flight and decided to come on out.
Hell yeah.
What a guy. That's a long flight. You flying direct at least, Andy?
Oh, no, I've got about three stops on Southwest.
Oh, you poor thing.
You.
Oh, boy.
You are a dear. What do you do in Atlanta, and how come I didn't stay at your house?
Well, I offered DeAndrea that aspect or that offer.
Adam, he's making a three connection flight on Southwest. What house do you think he'd be staying at?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, ask your mom if it's cool.
You got a finished basement, right?
Andy, I'm teasing you. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're good. I'm a insurance lawyer here in Atlanta.
Oh, and how far from Road Atlanta are you? I mean, for the next race.
It's an hour and a half. You know, it's way up there.
Too far.
I know. That's why I got to stay with the guy who's next to the track. So you're really going to come out to San Francisco, and please tell me what the rest of your plans are in San Francisco, because I'm hoping a tour of Alcatraz, Is it Ghirardelli or Ghirardelli?
Ghirardelli.
Ghirardelli.
The ferry building for the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm. Like, what are we talking about? Coit Tower?
We're going to, the next day, head up to Napa. We're just staying in San Francisco one night, girlfriend and myself, and we're going to Napa the next day for a few days.
What do you want to know, Andy?
Yeah.
Where should I go in Napa, Brian?
First time?
I've been. Okay. But I don't think I was legal drinking age at that time.
The wine train. Ride the wine train.
First time legal. That's when you got to do the big wineries, the one you recognize, the Coppolas and all the. Do Sterling. Sterling is okay wine, but it has the gondola that takes you up to the top of the mountain, and you get these spectacular views. So do the big places. You know, you can always do the small places some other time.
Okay, great.
Yeah, the Coppola is really impressive.
Yeah, they're all architectural marvels.
Yeah. All right, so Andy, you want to pull the balls late night Saturday show?
I love to pull your balls.
Easy.
Yeah,
there it is.
Easy.
Writing that.
My daughter told me to say that.
My daughter's giving a thumbs up from upstairs.
All right, Andy, I'm going to pencil you in. Normally, we have a ball girl, but if you're taking three connections from Atlanta,
you
deserve it. You earned it.
Well, I appreciate it. Tell me what I'll meet you there, right?
Hang on the line. We'll get your information.
Yeah, we'll get your info and we'll figure it out and we'll make it work.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye.
I love that.
He's the lawyer, so he would know better than me. But you think now that he's the ball girl, he can write off this trip?
Oh, interesting.
To be said for that?
Yeah. Especially when he does a slip and fall, getting on the stage and then sues Cobbs.
Yeah.
Who just mobbed here?
Flying private back to Atlanta. All right.
The Cobbs jet.
So somebody tweeted me an article, and I love reading your tweets, and I just hit the heart and I favorite tweet them. And sometimes people go, why are you doing that? And I go, I'm just trying to keep track of them. And I send them to Max Pat, and then he pulls them and reminds me that stuff I wanted to talk about. But article, everyone sitting down out of Florida, man killed by a giant bird. And
it's a matter of time.
There's a couple.
Oh, my God. Oh, what is that?
It's a giant bird.
It's a dinosaur.
Prehistoric, yeah.
It's a flightless bird. And also, I don't know. Like, you know how we have categories where, like, well, how do you define this? Like, we talk about, well, an avocado is a fruit because it has a pit. Like, mm-hmm. We have a pit. How about this? You don't fly, you're not a bird.
I like it.
Oh, it's good. Sorry, penguins.
Sorry, chickens.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If everybody said, what's the distinctive, like, what separates a bird from all other animals? No one would ever go, it's zodiac sign. They'd go, it flies.
Yeah.
Like, the thing about being a bird is flying like a like a bird.
Like a bird.
And if you don't fly, you ain't a bird. I'll call you something else.
We'll
get another designation for you, but I don't like you. Anyway, this
Like Gina mentioned, the chicken can't fly. It's at least covered in feathers. It has wings. This thing we're looking at here is a toupee.
It is.
Right.
It looks like a merkin.
Yeah, no, that...
Sweet mohawk, though.
Right. So that thing is a what?
It's a cassowaries. Mm-hmm. Cassowary, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that mohawk is part of its skull. It's not even like...
Oh,
it's not
pretty badass.
That's hardcore.
Right.
Yeah, it says it has 4-inch dagger-like claws and can slice open predators with a single kick.
Wow.
So this dude was 75 years old.
That thing is a dinosaur.
It's pretty awesome.
It's a dinosaur.
It looks like what's Hugh Jackman? Wolverine. Police found the man badly wounded by the cassowary, which they called to his property on Friday. The bird attacked him. The man fell over. The victim, Marvin Ajos, or Hajos, was taken to the hospital by paramedics. He died there from his injuries. This is considered the world's most dangerous bird, according to San Diego Zoo. Yeah. And the man was reportedly breeding the birds, which are native to Australia and New Guinea. He's said to have kept other exotic animals for decades.
All right, let me tell you about birds.
Yeah.
I've said it a million times. It's the only pet where after keeping it alive and cleaning up after it for like 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, you see guys reach into the cage to get their bird, and the bird starts biting on its finger. Like,
it's a fine, how do you do?
They don't like human beings. Yeah. As a matter of fact, they don't like anything.
Yeah,
I don't know that they're friendly with any of
with
God's creatures and each other. They're constantly doing battle in the sky.
So
it's like D-Day or something. It's like over. It's Battle of the Bulge in the air. Mm-hmm. Like, you see the crows and the hawks and they're going at it. Wow. And blah blah blah. But anyway, this thing.
Well,
kill them.
It gets better.
Yes.
Police added that the cassowary involved in the attack remains secured on private property. A woman who identified herself as the victim's partner told the Gainesville Sun newspaper that he died doing what he loved.
I love that.
That's good
because
stuff.
There's no way when you're being pecked and clawed to death by a giant dinosaur bird that you've probably fed with a bottle. You know, like 4 years ago, you held that thing as a chick and fed it as a bottle.
Put in a onesie.
Right. That thing is literally, look, in terms of ways to die.
It's a circle of life.
You know, nobody wants to drown and no one wants to catch on fire and nobody wants to have a terrorist attack. Blah, but that stuff is instantaneous. Pecked and clawed to death is a long and slow one. I mean, that's a lot.
Dismembered by an ostrich.
It's like being married. Am I right, guys? Am I right, fellas?
It's a lot of time to think about what you love.
Pecked to death.
It's a lot of time to walk back doing what you love.
To contemplate. Reflect.
He may have been doing what he loved just before he died, but he did not die doing what he loved.
That's right.
Gasping for air, gurgling in his own blood.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing, he was killed by a bird that he raised. He could, no way could he ever die doing what you love.
That is accurate.
You can could have been on the way to doing what he loved, and then he died. But either way, we're just talking about that notion of dying doing what you love and probably hating it at the time. So birds are the worst. Maybe we could recruit this bird into my bird army. Yeah. We have my attack crows. Yeah. These could be our foot soldiers.
Yeah, like
we have our air patrol, and we have
this is like heavy artillery, the tanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would be the grounds. This would be more the Marines.
Infantry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Died doing what he loved. Also, it's always perfect that a guy like this, and he's going to be missed. Don't get me wrong, but he's in Florida. That part is perfect, and he has a lady partner, but not his wife.
No, not his wife.
That's the lady friend. I guarantee he would introduce her as his lady friend.
Lady friend.
That's a bird loving Floridian thing. All right, crazy. Yeah. Now look. Do we put the bird down? And if we do, can we let Ted Nugent do it?
It's only humane way.
Give it to the campers at his camp.
Do something. You know what I mean? Let's get some use out of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are these birds good to eat?
No.
I'm
going to go with no, although I don't know if anyone's been ballsy enough to run it down and eat it.
Yeah, in World War II, people who were stationed in New Guinea were told, stay away from these birds because they can sever your arm or vacerate an abdomen with ease.
With ease.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And glee.
And supposedly this guy was trying to feed the birds. So.
Of course. And by the way,
kind of succeeded.
In terms of what's perfect about this story, he had a menagerie of other exotic animals he was keeping.
It's just a roulette wheel spin of who's going to kill him.
The crocodile, the white tiger. Yeah.
My favorite part is where the lesbian with the khaki shorts pulls up to the microphone at some point when she's delivering the press conference and goes, these are wild animals. Like, I always love when people say that. Oh, they're not stuffed teddy bears. Like, they always go, these are wild animals. Like, I think we got that. I've wrapped my mind around it. Yeah. I saw a picture of it, and then I saw the coroner's report. I'm with you 1,000%.
Yeah, the dagger's attached to its toes. I got that part.
Although I have been trying to make a nuanced distinction to the 3-year-old or their little one who always wants to know in animal shows, is that a bad animal? Is that a bad animal or a good? Everyone's a bad guy or a good guy. So we'll see the lions, we'll see the elephants, we'll see whatever. And he'll go, is that a bad animal? And I'll always say the same thing. Well, it's a wild animal. It's not bad. It's just wild, and it does what it does.
I used to do that with Sonny when we were a kid, but we'd be watching Cops. Anyway.
There are animals in the show?
Let's say we'd be watching Cops.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Let's not get run over by a train, people. I got a PSA for you guys. Find yourself stuck on a railway crossing. Let's not turn into a 50s song about... unrequited love. If signal's going and train's not there yet, get the hell out of there, man. Some people some people want to sneak across. Some people have that, like, I'm in a hurry, but let's not do that. Don't ever, man. Trains are going faster than you expect. It can take a train over a mile to stop. I've seen the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Sparks shooting out everywhere. You can get crushed in seconds when those babies hit you. So let's not die doing what you love, which is which is getting through traffic in a timely fashion. So if the signal's on, the train is on its way. Just remember one thing, stop, because the trains cannot stop. So let's get home in one piece with the kids and whatnot, shall we, people? All right, let's see. We have, Amy's out there. I had an interesting thing I'll play for you guys. So, I was telling you, coincidentally, last week, or was it yesterday? I can't remember anyway. Pete Brock, famous guy, designed a car, designed a Daytona, Shelby, blah, blah, blah.
With the crazy back.
Yeah, he sends me a lot of emails. And he sent
spam forwards.
Yeah.
Mailing list stuff.
He does. And he sent me one. There was a movie. There was a famous underground bootleg movie. And I'm curious how this works. From 1976. So.
The Day the Clown Cried.
It was, Jerry Lewis?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like that.
Is that the pumpkin one?
It made the round.
Pumpkin?
No,
that's
the other Jerry Lewis.
Oh, sorry.
That's where Jerry Lewis starred as a Nazi.
TV show host.
He was a Nazi clown.
In a Holocaust.
Yeah. No, you're thinking of King of Comedy.
Oh,
no.
Right.
I am?
No.
I'm
sitting in between two people that are having it. You're
who
thinking
don't give a
of
shit
an,
about Jerry Lewis.
You're thinking about an underground Jerry Lewis movie that never surfaced because he was a clown in a concentration camp.
Right.
You're thinking about King of Comedy.
Thank you.
And where he was in the movie with De Niro.
Thank you and for now we shall move on.
Thank you for negotiating this peace treaty.
Yeah. All right. So sign and initial and date this. Brian, you initial it and date it as well. And we can move forward. So, So think about this. I was talking to Nick Santora over the break, over the weekend, about the Jerky Boys. And we talk about, I never liked the Jerky Boys, but I know about the Jerky Boys. But the thing that's interesting, what we've talked about is like, how did that whole Rod Stewart or Richard Gere, how'd they spread out? How come everyone knew all those stories in the ninth grade? But you think about the Jerky Boys. How come when I'm in La Crescenta, California, with my roommate Ralph in 1992, he's got Jerky Boy tapes, pre-internet, obviously. He's not going to a website. Somebody's like recording them and bootlegging them and sending them out to him and blah, blah, blah. But pre-internet, things could go viral. And there were plenty of guys I hung out with who knew all about the Jerky Boys from Long Island or wherever they were from. And I don't know how it works, but that's how it works. And, but before that, I mean, I don't know. People knew about Davy Crockett and stuff like that. It's just the way we work. We don't need the internet. But there was a famous film, and the famous film was called Rendezvous, and it was about 7 or 8 minutes long. I saw a VHS tape of it probably in the mid-90s, and it was a guy going through the streets of Paris at dawn in what sounded like a souped-up Ferrari, because you never saw the driver and you never saw the car. He mounted the...
It was crazy driving, though, right?
Yes. He mounted the camera on the bumper of the car, so you could only see what... And down low.
Okay.
And you could only see what was in front of the car. So for years, people speculated, like, oh, this was Jacques Lafitte, the famous F1 driver, and this guy was he was driving a Ferrari Daytona GTB 275, but nobody, V12, six downdraft Webers, but nobody knew until recently. This is why Brock sent me this email. They finally sort of, somebody fessed up. Somebody came out and said, it was me, or here's what I did, or here's what happened. And I'll show you, and you guys can just turn it up and listen. I'll play about 15 seconds of it. He's heading to the Arc de Triomphe. Arc de Triomphe. All right, here we go.
Close enough.
All right, so That's about 15 seconds of that. So they went on, and so Pete sent me this email, and the email said they finally kind of figured out who was behind it and how it worked and blah, blah, blah. Max Pata may have that somewhere. Do you have that article?
Yeah, so he forwarded you this article from Haggerty, and it's one scene, one take, no dialogue, no chase, no hero, car or driver in sight, yet Cloud Lelouch's, that's the director's, the hypnotic, electrifying C'était un Rendezvous is one of the best car films of all time. For years, its creation was shrouded in mystery. No one knew how it had been made, what kind of car the film featured, or who was behind the wheel. Its backstory was embellished, even fabricated, and it took on mythic proportions. Since its 1976 debut, the film has rightfully become a legend. And so the longstanding belief was that it featured a Ferrari, and it only fed rumors that race car driver Jacques Lafitte had been behind the wheel and reached speeds of 200 miles per hour.
Right. So... I was going, man. And it's funny because I've seen it a couple times, and it went down. It's like burned into my psyche. Like, God, that guy was hauling ass. Man, that Ferrari was kicking ass through the streets of Paris and pre-dawn or around dawn and blah, blah, blah. And then the article went on to say what, Max Pata?
So the reveal is Lelouch, the director, drove the car himself. His own Mercedes-Benz 450 SEL.
It was a big four-door, big luxury Mercedes that is nothing near a sports car, especially in 1974 or 73 or whenever that car is. It's a mid... I don't know if his was... I don't know what years they made the 450 SEL. You can probably figure that out.
The legend is always better.
But it's a big, lumbering 70s Mercedes, and maybe they made it from 68 to 75 or
75
something.
75 to 81.
Oh, 75 to 81. Well, that's a good thing to know. So then his must have been a 75 or 76. But either way, that's the mid. That is peak slow car season for even Mercedes. And Mercedes aren't sports cars, right. Not back then. But the four door Mercedes. A 75, more work for you, Max Pata. A 75 four door Mercedes. 450 SEL is 0 to 60 in something slow. Like, it ain't as quick as a Mini Cooper is today. You can get into that later. But the point is, all right, he's driving a slow car. He's not driving a Ferrari.
That's insane.
Now, he can still kind of be hauling ass in a slow car, but he's not going, and it's not a slow car. But what I'm saying is it's not a sports car.
Does it sound the way it sounds because the engine's laboring so bad to do what he wants it
to
do?
No, you keep reading.
So he was driving the Mercedes-Benz 450 SEL and dubbed in the sound of a Ferrari 275 GTB after the fact. And if they listen close now, they can hear that the sync's not even perfect. But Lelouch opted for his Mercedes because of the hydropneumatic suspension. It cushioned the camera mounted to it.
Huh.
But the Ferrari squealing tires, revving engine.
I was just saying, did they sweeten that? Because to get that on a 76 camera with the audio they had at the time, you'd have had a boom mic outside the car.
No, they didn't sweeten it. They laid it over.
Yeah.
They laid the Ferrari sound over.
Oh, right. But for that, yes. Existing sound.
It wasn't
the sound of that car.
He added everything.
That's all dubbed, yeah.
All laid over.
Well, let's listen again. Maybe we can hear it. There it is. I could have sworn I first heard it.
You realize now, I started thinking, oh my God, it's the sound. It's the sound of the engine. It's the sound of the engine. That whole thing was the sound of the engine. And then I thought, we would have laid generic rock over it. If we were doing what we're doing, we would have taken the engine away and laid...
Yep. The clearable stuff.
Gennaro Rock, I'll play you me going up the hill in a twin turbo 935 with our Gennaro Rock, and we'll see what that sounds like. Originally known by some drivers as the meat grater.
Yeah.
Shadows from the trees have caused a lot of great drivers to crash here, and they've lost some really expensive race cars.
You can still hear the car engine.
Maybe
just faintly in the background. All right. So I thought, all right, I'm going to try that 15-second rendezvous clip with our generic
rock under it and no
Ferrari sound, and then you'll see how much it slows down. Like, when he's catching, he's going down a straightaway, and there's a car in front of him, and that car's going 35 or 40 miles an hour. He's not catching him that fast. Like, if you're going 180 miles an hour and someone's going 35, you're right. Yeah. You're on him. I've done enough. Just, you guys have been on the freeway doing 60, and someone passes you at 80, and they blow past you. Yeah, that's only 20 miles an hour faster. So, no, we'll do it now with Gennaro Rock, and we'll have a laugh. Oh, you got to turn that.
Look how sweet this is.
Woo! That's a nice leisurely Sunday drive.
Watch how slow he goes when he gets it. Yeah. Yeah, put a GoPro on the moped.
Wow.
See how slow this car is coming up?
I'm slightly faster than traffic.
All right, so it went from hero to zero, right? Like, it turned into nothing. Mm.
Wow. So, no wonder he wanted to keep the secret.
I walked into Nate's office this morning. I said, pull up that rendezvous and let's watch it. And he said, okay. And I said, who is the editor on Adam Carolla Goes Racing? Because I want him in the room with us. And he said, Doug's the editor. And I said, good, go get Doug. And he said, Doug went home. Mm-hmm. And I said, why did Doug go home?
Just think about what he did.
He said, Doug spilt bleach on himself.
Oh, God.
And I was like, what? And then I paused and he went, he was cleaning the bathroom. And I went, good, okay, good. I'm now all is forgiven.
We're back.
He was cleaning the bathroom. Okay. I don't know. Maybe we should get someone to clean the bathroom.
I emailed Doug because I wanted to find the exact song that you used in from the Adam Carolla Goes Racing video. And he just sent it to me seconds ago. And the reason he had trouble finding it because he relabeled it Adam Hates a Don't Use. Wave.
How big is that file?
No, I'm Doug just
performing a hate crime on himself.
I'm saying watch Rocky turn the sound down. You will physically see the punches the distance, missing. Yeah. You will see it. Turn the sound up. You'll hear them. It'll connect them for you. Have Adam go up the hill in the 935 and play Gennaro Rock, and it's a five. But have that turbo spool up, and it's a different environment. It's a different thing. This guy was a filmmaker, and in 1976, he knew it, and he got his four-door Mercedes with the hydro suspension in it and his key grip or cinematographer or whatever, like, in the passenger seat, and he just took a spirited drive through Paris, but not at breakneck speed, just a spirited drive. But he mounted the camera in the right place, and then he took a V12 Ferrari with six downdraft Weber carbs on it, and he jacked that sound up, and he jacked it up, and your brain turned it into the most crazy ride through Paris,
French Connection
ever.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my sonic argument for today.
Are you satisfied or totally bummed now? Or both?
I'm just like, I'm both.
Okay.
I'm both. 0 to 60, 8.5 seconds, which is
laborious.
It is. If you haven't cracked six, you ain't moving. So that is slow as it gets. All right. Is Amy here, by the way?
No, her call time's 5 more minutes.
Okay. But it's interesting what the mind does. It's great. We are much more sonically tuned in than we think. Mm-hmm. I think we think we're all visual.
No.
We're really not.
Yeah, there's actually a big viral thing on YouTube, Chris or Kayla, maybe you can find it. There's a Speed Racer one and a Bohemian Rhapsody one. And I'm sorry, I don't know what to put into search, but you're just going to hear the music. And because you know the words, it sounds like people are singing it, but they are not. So if we can find that, it's pretty cool to listen to.
Like karaoke?
No.
Oh.
No, it literally is like some sort of a piano synthesizer. It's just playing it. But because you know the words, the way it's done, it sounds like people are singing it in the background.
And this is why the older I get, the less and less I put into, like, eyewitness to the crime. Right. Like, I saw, I know what I saw. Right. Like, I know what I heard. I know what I, whatever. We're all over the road on that, pardon the pun. Speed Racer, like the theme song from Speed Racer?
Yeah.
Oh, I know all the words to that song.
Well, then you'll enjoy this. But it might take a while to find. I can run in there and try and be more specific.
Maxipata, if you just play the theme song to Speed Racer, I will sing. I'll sing it note,
have it.
Note
this
for
will
note.
Help, actually.
Haven't heard this song in 40 years. Here he comes, here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone. He's coming for you, so you better look alive.
No.
He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5.
No.
And when the odds are against him in his dangerous work,
yeah,
you bet your life Speed Racer's going to see it through. Go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go!
Yeah.
Start around the track, he's going around the pedal like he's never coming back. Adventure's waiting just ahead! Go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go!
It's good.
I don't remember that version.
That was really good.
God, I said, that's the only cartoon I used to watch when I was a kid. Mm. And then you know what? After that, the gayest of all cartoons came on. Mm. Kimba the White Lion.
Don't know Kimba.
Oh,
is that Hanna-Barbera?
Kimba has not stood the test of time.
No,
it didn't make it to my childhood.
There was Speed Racer would come on, and then Kimba the White Lion. And Kimba was this super soft, sappy, like, it's a light line, but he just wants to be friends with the other line. And there was Daniel Baboon. He was the elderly one.
Oh,
and it was all, it was weird Japanese anime stuff. They would just lay stuff over. And I could remember my ears would pop from getting like the bends. I could altitude drop after Speed Racer. Speed Racer would be like punching out Racer X and getting in a fight with the battling Malachis and, you know, going at it with Inspector Detector and everything like that. And then all of a sudden, Kimba the White Lion, like, blah.
What choice did you have, though?
Nothing. Oh, I had to watch it.
Turn the TV off and watch.
I can sing the whole, I think I can sing the Kimba the White Lion song, too. If you find that theme, I'll sing that one.
Gauntlet Throne.
Hey, let me ask you guys a quick question on that note.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you find the Kimba the White. Now, look, Brian, you've sat next to me for 15 years. You've never heard me sing Kimba the White Lion or Speed Racer.
I don't think you referenced Kimba the White Lion.
Right.
No. Can I specifically
this is
remember?
Literally something that's just burned in from age 10 years old.
And you didn't even like it.
I didn't even like it. I had to watch it. Then I got a hot Pokemon take, too, after this. You got Kimba the White Lion?
It's a big show.
Kimba, Kimba,
this one's Kimba the... This one's a little different.
Kimba, who lives down in deepest, darkest Africa? Who's the one who brought the jungle fame? Who's the king of animals in Africa?
I guess I don't know this one. Kimba the White Lion is his name.
Jesus.
When we get in trouble and we're in a fight, who's the one that just won't turn and run? Who's the king of doing good and doing right? Kimba the White Lion is the one. I hope Kimba, you know what I'd pay to see? Kimba goes at Dora the Explorer like that fucking ostrich went at the old man in Florida and just disembowels her.
Yeah.
I would cheer.
Yeah.
I would cheer. And then Ted Nugent shoots Kimba with a crossbow.
Jesus.
Wow.
That I would watch.
1-2 punch.
This is the first time I've ever heard, I think I've ever heard of Kimba. Yeah,
never.
Kimba's like, again, we're poisoning our kids with Wawa Wubsby and Dora the Explorer and other piles of creative shit like that. But this was blah. And I'd come right off a Speed Racer and into this. And I was like, but what am I going to do? Read?
Yeah. Now, well, you can't.
No, please.
Have eye contact with a family member? No. Like, what are my
also
choices here?
There's nothing to do.
I had to watch Kimba. Blah.
With Netflix and all this stuff, the kid always says, I want to watch something I've never seen before. And so we just go through the characters. And
he found
one. Yeah, that's his thing. And he found one 2 days ago that he's into, and we can't stop laughing. I think it's Indonesian. It might be Indian. It's called Robot Boy. And the voices are like, hello, yes, no, please do not fight me. Keep silence in class.
Yeah, it's bad.
It is insane.
That's good. So, Max Zapata, can you pull up the billboard for Pokemon? Because I was driving.
The new movie?
Yeah.
Detective Pikachu?
I was driving.
I mean, I have no idea.
I was driving to the Comedy Store Sunday night. I was heading through the Cahuenga, whatever, and I stopped, and there was a big billboard there. And I looked up at it, and I was like, oh, Pokemon. Now, Pokemon is one of those things that I do not get. There are many things in life I do not. I don't get any anime. I remember my son about 2.5 years ago was looking for Pokemon and all the times and getting the Pokemon app and collecting Pokemon. And I told him, this will be an embarrassing chapter in your life. You will be humiliated by this. And I'm telling you right now, you can drop it and get on with life, or you can invest another 3 months into it and several $100s and then be humiliated by it as we move forward. And he's like, I'm into Pokemon.
What are you talking about?
And I'm like, okay, this can be super embarrassing chapter. And now when I talked about Pokemon, he's like, yeah, I know, it was lame. I don't know what I was thinking. And I don't get it. I don't get Pokemon. I never got any of that stuff. I don't get the cards. I don't get any of it. But they're coming out with a feature, and I hope it dies a thousand deaths like Super Mario Brothers did. Like when they come out with the feature 5 years after the heat kind of everything cools off. Like,
are we still talking about Pokemon?
Why now?
It was Pokemon. Well, the timing is about right if you started making a movie when everything was going down Pokemon.
When it was
but
white hot.
It peaked and just dropped.
Yeah.
And so I was passing this billboard and I was like, oh, great. Pokey goddamn month. Now, here's how you know. We don't need a Pokemon in the movie. Nobody was bigger into it than my son and his friends. Guess who doesn't want any? No, he wants to see the Avengers, End of an Era, or whatever, End Times, End Game, End Times. That's the final blast of whatever all the stuff.
That's it.
He wants all that crap. He will not watch this movie. I will make fun of him if he wants it. He won't. He's outgrown it. Everyone who's into it is outgrown it.
Yeah, they're teenagers.
But I was looking at the billboard. And they had the little slug line over Pikachu. And if you have it, Max Zapata,
we can't find any picture of the billboard. But what's the slug line? We'll find. It's probably in the movie.
You can't just find the picture of Pikachu that says.
We can't find any billboard.
I know, but
they have a lot of different posters for this movie. So
find a Pikachu one. Let's see. We'll find the poster. They might have used the same. I don't want to step on the slug line. I'll buy you a second. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure. That Mercedes 450 SEL didn't need the Castrol Edge as much as the Daytona Ferrari did, because that guy had it hammered. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure three times,
fool.
Stronger than leading full synthetics against viscosity breakdown. They did a test, and that's what they came up with. Castrol Edge formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. All right, we'll see if we can find this. And then I have a little quiz, and I'm curious. But anyway, I don't know. Show me any poster of Pokemon with Pikachu on it. Is Pikachu on this poster? I mean, the word is. But all right, let's say a big picture of Pikachu on it. We'll see if we can figure that one out.
Is this live action?
Like Roger Rabbit style. He's obviously CGI, but he's voiced by Ryan Reynolds. And then the rest of the people are people.
Wait, doesn't Pikachu... I don't know anything about Pokemon, but doesn't Pikachu just say Pikachu?
I think that's part of the joke. I saw a trailer for this, so I don't know anything about the movie, but what I know is only one person can hear him talk. Everyone else just hears Pikachu, or Pika Pika Pika, or whatever it is.
My so the billboard, which we can't find, which is... it said, had a big picture of Pikachu, that Pokemon, you know, coming out, and it said, here come the fuzz. Because he's fuzzy.
Okay.
It's good.
It's a pun.
It's good, except for I'm trying to think how that works. Mm. Because obviously kids don't know the reference, here come the fuzz. And I don't know if you have a 7-year-old and you're 30 and you're 37 or you're 33 or whatever, I don't know if you know here come the fuzz. I'm trying to think of that ended.
I imagine any 12-year-old, whatever age, 8-year-old, who's into this is in no matter what. I think they're saying like, hey, parents, you feel okay about spending your money on this. There's jokes for adults in this.
They had a movie called Hot Fuzz, so that's a fuzz reference. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to remember. I'm just trying to think. I just made me think. Like, would if you stopped your 35-year-old woman and go, here come the fuzz. Or the fuzz. Yeah. Like, what's the fuzz in reference to? Do you think they would say the police? Now, I get what you're saying, but I'm just trying to do an experiment. Like, there are people
for?
With people under 40, if you go the fuzz, what does that mean?
Nah, 50-50 at best.
Yeah, where, I don't know, Max Patti, you know the fuzz?
I absolutely know the fuzz, yeah.
And he's pretty hip, though.
You're pretty hip. I'm trying to think of, like,
by global
where that ends. Like, where that, and
yeah,
then.
It's a very dated
where
reference.
Do I know the fuzz? Like, where was just a 70s reverend, but
it seems
then people kind of stop using it. Yeah. And
Kalen knows, and he's our youngest guy here.
Kalen knows the fuzz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but his dad, come on now. His dad came home in full uniform with a loaded clip in his Glock every night.
The pokey.
Yeah.
And I was like, people know that, know the fuzz.
Anyway, I hope it dies 1,000 deaths.
Sure,
I don't know why the weird stuff and the anime stuff. Why is it so off-putting to me?
It's grotesque.
It's grotesque, and there's nothing. There's nothing substantial in it. Mm-hmm. There's no real content.
Get ready for some tweets. I, for one, love the anime, weirdos. Don't email me.
Well, I've been watching a lot of it. I mean, that's what we're watching, and I don't get it.
Brutal.
All right. So comedian Amy Miller's coming in a second. Yes.
Do you remember the movie Chicken Little that came out? It was a kid's movie.
Yes.
I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. The only reason I remember it is because the billboard was America Loves Chicken. That was the billboard for Chicken
Little. It's a weird bridge to build to eating your favorite cartoon character.
That's true.
All right. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the comedian Amy Miller right after this.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. Hits the road again this spring.
Canuck, we get it. You're Canadian. You're playing fucking hockey, and your name is Guy Lafleur. We understand. You're fucking Canadian. We get it. You don't have to name your team Canadian.
Four chances to see Adam Carolla is unprepared this weekend at Cobb's in San Francisco. Two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. And now, Sonny Carolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
With the sound off, Adam Schiff looks like a bobblehead. Tiny little shoulders and a big fat head.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Comedian Amy Miller in studio. And Hi. You can see her this weekend at Cobb's.
Yes, with you.
Two shows Friday and a Saturday. She's going to be opening, but I would call her featuring.
Yes.
And then Mike and I were trying to figure out what the difference between a feature and a middle and a headline was. But either way, Amy's been kind enough to do that for us. So you're going to go out and do about, 20 minutes or so?
I think it's up to you. 20, 25, 30?
Let's call it 90 minutes.
Is there anyone else? Do you have a host?
No, I think what we're going to do is, I think you go out and do 20. I'll go out and do 20, 25 of stand-up, and then we'll bring the ball puller up on stage and do the last half hour with Adam Carolla's Unprepared. I think that makes sense, right,
Love
Max Zapata?
Yeah, I like that.
So how did Mike get hold of you and tell us about your comedy history?
Oh, for opening? Well, I'm from the Bay Area, so the Punchline's my home club. So she recommends me for all kinds of stuff.
Oh, so Mike got hold of the manager and said... who do you got?
Yes. Yeah. I work at Cobb's a lot.
I was thinking about this. I see all these. I haven't been to San Francisco in a while. I always see these news reports of like fecal matter and homeless and syringes and everything. And I remember we always stay down on the wharf somewhere and we walk to Cobb's.
Yeah.
And it's not not a long walk, but it's not a short walk. Like you cover some ground. Mm. You're going through the city. Am I going to step on a needle? Am I going to get hepatitis?
You're going to see a lot of poop.
Yeah. Really?
And you just tell yourself it's from a dog, but it's not. It's definitely from a human. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know. That walk from the wharf to Cobb's, they'll still be nice. You're going through Little Italy and stuff. It'll be beautiful.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, they kind of confine all the homeless to like one area right on top of where all the tech offices are. Mm. And they love that. Nothing
I'm sure.
that rich people love more than seeing... human
Squalor.
Suffering yeah. on the way to work.
Think about the bang for your buck. Like, think how much you're paying per square foot for some commercial space in the city and what your taxes are and permits and all the checks you're cutting to get your business going in there. And then stepping in human poop on your way to the office. That doesn't seem like a lot of return on your investment.
I don't know. I mean, if you work at Twitter, you're just wading through poop all the time anyway.
Yeah, that's
so
a good point.
Like,
yeah, the physical manifestation of what you do on the sidewalk on the way out. You know, I was always kind of my take on government is always just sort of, let's be realistic. Like, if people are getting AIDS and they're not wearing condoms, then give them condoms. Like, at a certain point, you go, let's just be realistic here. Like, if people are going to be defecating in the street, then let's just put some porta potties out there.
Give them a condom.
Like, let's give them a condom. Let them defecate into that. Yeah, go like full Howie Mandel, like what he would do with the surgical glove, but with a condom on your anus. But I was driving out here. We kind of have our own version of that. And it always strikes me, because I went out last night to the Comedy Store and I was driving down Forest Lawn Drive, where all the illegals sell flowers all along that line. And they just sell flowers for people going to the mortuary, and that's how they make their living. And it's fine. It's not sanctioned or licensed or permitted or anything. But it is what it is, and the cops aren't going to do anything about it. But the place is littered with boxes and garbage that either the people eat or the flowers that the boxes come in, because the folks who are there doing it don't have any way to get rid of their piles of trash. So my thing is, like, with the government is, okay, you don't condone this, but you're not going to do anything about it. So be mature and just put some trash cans there, or put a porta potty in a trash can. Like, if in fact this exists and it's going to exist, then let's just be mature about
reality on reality's terms.
Right.
Yeah. Well, San Francisco has tried this, and recently the new mayor proposed this project for a shelter. Just put everybody inside. But it was downtown, so all these tech companies raised a bunch of money on GoFundMe to stop the shelter. Wow. They raised like 500 grand or something insane to stop the shelter. So now I think it's not happening. They just want everybody shipped out. They just want to send them away on a bus and never see them again.
We're not going to stop until we're full soil and green. we're just going to start harvesting human beings. Like, cows will be outlawed because of the farts. Human beings will be stacking them with skip loaders and putting them into a big mill and grinding grist out of them. Yeah. So, Amy, how's the career going?
It's going good. You know, I'm still relatively new, I guess, in the scheme of things. I've been doing it like 8 years. But I work all the time. I'm working a lot.
You work out at Rooster Tea Feathers?
You know, I didn't. I didn't get down there much when I was starting. I spent a lot of time in Oakland and the city.
In San Francisco, the comedy scene?
It's good. It's always been good. You know, a lot of great people came out of there, but there's always a weird plateau because people just go to L.A. And people just go to L.A. 2 years in and show up here like, where's my career?
Right.
I went to Portland, which is a weird choice I made that I think worked out well. So I did 2 years in the Bay and then went to Portland for 3 years. Which
Where
is what
you,
more people
so,
are doing now.
Like, when you were in high school, were you thinking about stand-up?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I was not a performer. I had terrible stage fright. In high school, I was mostly thinking about boys and Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
He's a boy.
He's a boy. Yeah.
Yes.
The ultimate boy.
He was my number one boyfriend.
And so what was the plan? What was the thought?
The plan, I went to Berkeley. The plan was to do social work, actually. I studied sociology and I worked with foster kids for a long time. So that was the path that I was on. And then I sort of stumbled into comedy late, relatively late at 30, which is late to start this ridiculous job.
Did someone it always struck me that people with comedy and getting into comedy, many of the male comedies comedians I speak to about it, but as I think about it, I'm interested in a woman's perspective of it, but it's the same rap that models give. Like, when you ask a super hot chick, how did you get into modeling? She can't go, well, it's because I'm super hot.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, I was a tomboy and I like climbing trees and racing go-karts. And a friend of mine signed me up for a modeling competition. And I just won. Like, okay, but why'd you show up?
I was forced
to
show up because I was signed up.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like, I show shucks, but next thing you know, I'm on Vogue, you know. And so male comedians always go, oh, I went to a comedy club. My friends like pushed me up on stage or they signed me up for But by the way, it wouldn't work if you really thought about it. Like if somebody just signed you up for an open mic because you were so, but they don't want to say because I'm so funny. Yeah. They just go, my friends made me do it. So at age 30, did your friends sign you up in that modeling competition? How'd it work?
I did have a friend who was going to an open mic, but mostly, I mean, I started because I was super hot, obviously. Yeah. That was number one. I don't know. I just wanted to get over my stage fright, mostly. I felt like I was funny, but I didn't think I was going to stick with it. I just thought I was going to do some crazy thing in downtown San Francisco at a laundromat, by the way.
Nice. Was it
my first open mic?
They had an open mic at the laundromat?
Yeah, for 15 years.
Oh, really? Yeah, such a Bay Area move, right?
I know. Yeah, that's
all we
it's
have
closed
is crime
now.
Out here.
Yeah, laundromat on Folsom.
And so you kind of did that. And realized that it was something you wanted to do.
Yeah, I had a good time the first time. Plus, it was scary, and my life was sort of melting down. And I was, having a whatever, turning 30 crisis, whatever the fuck that is.
I got a question about working with foster kids and people of that nature.
Yes.
Is it depressing, or is it uplifting, or is it like, I don't want to be a paramedic because I could not see people that got into a motorcycle accident, like sort of for a living. That would bum me out. On the other hand, it's kind of depressing in a weird way when one of your rich friends invites you to their Malibu house and you like go, God, you live here? Like, yeah, I live here. Like, here's where I drink my coffee. And you kind of get bummed out. Like, why am I
part
not?
Part time. I got a place in Kauai, too.
Yeah, but, how come I'm not here? So there's that envy kind of part.
Yeah.
And seeing the kids, hearing the stories, knowing what you're dealing with, did you walk out there? Did you sort of go home at night with this bummed out? Or was
I drank a lot. Yeah. it was uplifting when it worked, but I had to read through all the kids' stories and try to find placements for them, long-term, adoptive placements. I'd say the most depressing part was anytime I left the Bay Area to recruit parents and went to, like, Fresno or whatever, and then there were social workers there who would be like, we can't put this kid in a gay family.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, I forgot most of California is not the Bay Area.
We're pretty rural when you get outside of LA
and
San Francisco. So you had a lot of gay couples.
Yes.
Because you're San Francisco's, you're beat, and they wouldn't give them up. Or how does that work?
I mean,
can they legally say no, or how does that work?
They are not legally supposed to say no, but they can say it's not a good fit for this kid. And then,
who's
wink,
desperate
wink.
For a home and has two people that'll be there.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the really messed up part was there were teenagers in foster care who would say, I can't live with two gay dudes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They'd rather live
in
what?
Group homes.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Because they just didn't want to go to school and say, I have two dads or whatever. But when it worked, it was very uplifting. Beautiful. Nothing more beautiful than that.
By the way, you're not going to get judged in San Francisco.
Oh, that's cred, man.
Yeah,
exactly.
My dad worked at a group home, I
guess.
You
only have two dads?
What? That's also like an 80s sitcom, like My Two Dads.
My Two Dads, Paul Reiser.
Hey, was...
you should have told that to the kids in 2007.
You love Paul Reiser.
Three men and a little baby kid.
It was five acres in Altadena. Is that... still there, and was it a group home? Because that's where my dad worked, like during my sort of childhood and high school years.
Still around.
And they'd have these little cottages, and they had these like den mom and den dads, I guess, or den parent. And all the kids would sort of live in these little separate cottages, and they had like
kibbutz.
A kind of kitchen in the middle, and they'd like sit down and blah, blah, blah. And I have a very distinct memory of going there once and like hanging out with the kids in the cottage and all this stuff.
Hey,
and,
Dad, where are you going?
And they said, we sat around the table and we were time to eat like spaghetti. And they went, Adam, would you like to say grace? And I didn't have one.
You had no grace.
I had no grace.
No grace
I grew up an atheist.
Didn't have a rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub.
Yay, God.
I think I had a God is gracious, God is good, thank you for this food. But it doesn't really rhyme, Five acres has been around since 1888?
Jesus. Wow. Oh, man.
They got the Jim Carolla wing and everything.
Jesus Christ. The place has been going on for a long time.
I think the tough part was when I started comedy and tried to make jokes about foster kids, and people did not like it.
No.
Well, that gallows humor from everything you've seen, you need an outlet
for.
Yeah,
I did. I did. I mean, some people would like it in the wrong way.
You were in the East Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Just go over well over there.
So, God, 1888, I had no goddamn idea, and it's still around, sadly.
Yep.
Same plumbing.
All right. So, we will take ourselves a quick break, and then we will come back, and we'll do the news, and Amy will hang with us, and we'll do that with Gina Grad right after this.